this is how great life is when you sell drugs and kill people. Don't worry about getting caught.
I wish this was one of those high-tech podcasts where I can just, you know, record that and just keep using it ad nauseum. This is the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast with your hosts, Andrew Laird, Mike Gottlieb. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. I am Mike Gottlieb, your host, along with our expert here, Andrew Laird. And I guess it's the podcast engineers saying that you podcast twice, but you only release once, right?
Yeah, that's the saying, all right.
Yeah, exactly. You cut it twice and you release it once. To pull you back behind the curtain here, we actually did do a podcast yesterday, but a certain hotel chain that rhymes with Schmoliday Inn Express has some really bad internet. So, this is take two of our RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. We will go through the weekend's games, and while talking about the matchups, we'll reference our rankings that we did, you, me, and Chris Mozinski this week, that are up on rotowire.com/soccer. So, let's kick it off here with the early morning game, 7:45 Saturday morning. It's Manchester City at home against Crystal Palace. I'm the only one who ranked Jose Pozo, the young 18-year-old here. What are your thoughts on Jose Pozo heading into the weekend?
I'm going to stay away, at least in the beginning. I got to keep remembering that nobody heard everything that we talked about yesterday. So the fear I have with Pozo is that he's more of just a player to take up space in order to let Yaya Toure and David Silva and Samir Nasri have, you know, the opportunities to get their own shots on goal. And so I kind of put him in the same realm. He's in a different situation, but I put him in the same realm as Manchester United's James Wilson, that yes, they're starting, and yes, they theoretically should have, you know, decent fantasy potential based on, you know, playing forward for these two teams, but there are plenty of options I prefer ahead of them, and I'm not sure that they get involved enough to warrant a fantasy investment, even at the reduced price that you'll probably get either one of them.
I was about to say, as the Manchester City player furthest forward, unlike Wilson, who's not the furthest forward.
That's fair.
Wouldn't Pozo? Obviously, you would choose Pozo over Wilson because of that reason.
I mean, if that's the only thing you're going after, then yes, theoretically he will be closer to the goal, you know, physically. But there are plenty of options I like outside of those two. Certainly, you know, with Wilson, you're obviously going to look at RVP and Rooney. Pozo, you know, they have the potential to use James Milner up there. I'm not sure Pozo goes a full 90, not for a fitness issue, but I just don't think he's good enough to play that long.
James Milner, by the way, was having an impasse with his contract, so he may not make it that much longer on Manchester City in general.
Yeah.
His contract's up at the end of the year, so if they want anything for him, they will get rid of him in January. Or...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure.
We'll take the risk of losing him for nothing.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much they'll get for him anyway. He has the benefit of being a homegrown player that Man City tends to need.
Desperately need because of financial fair play. But
right,
yes.
Right. So,
but all other City options we are comfortable with this week, even Joe Hart. So
yeah,
definitely start them. And then stay tuned for our Mondo Goal daily dose at the end to see if either one of us picked Jose Pozo at the end there. for some valuable savings there. But our second game up here is West Ham at home against Leicester City, and you know Manchester City Crystal Palace is a lopsided matchup here, and we also have another one right here with West Ham Leicester. And I was looking at the fixture list this weekend. It seems that there's going to be a lot of points scored by the usual suspects. So I'm not sure you can really go wrong this week as far as your top options. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's fair. We have the benefit of, you know, we've kind of been plugging West Ham for a while now. We really like Andy Carroll. We've said that. I think he's an excellent play this weekend. And the plus that you get with Carroll and the Hammers this week is that they're at home. You know, Man City is also at home, but you look at some of the other regular, you know, attacking options that you look for. Swansea's on the road. Man United's on the road, Chelsea's on the road, Everton on the road, Arsenal's on the road. So if you are one of those, you know, fantasy players that prefers to just stick with guys who are playing at home, you know, I think West Ham and Man City are the obvious options, with the West Ham ones specifically probably being cheaper. You know, you'll probably get Stuart,
Jose Pozo.
Well, yeah, that's true. You'll probably get, you know, Stuart Downing cheaper than you would get Yaya Toure in a lot of leagues. So just something to consider in terms of this specific matchup. I think this month might be the biggest scoreline of the weekend.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it biggest scoreline for one team as far as disparaging. Yep. Maybe not total. I'm not sure how many Leicester's going to score.
Yep.
But we're comfortable with all West Ham options, including Adrian and Aaron Cresswell.
Yeah. Throw Winston Reed in there too, who was only 2,000 in DraftKings last week.
That's definitely some good value there. That's, by the way, the lowest amount from DraftKings for a defender. Yep. So definitely something worth looking at. And our third matchup here is Tottenham at home against Burnley, another seemingly lopsided matchup. Are you comfortable with all Tottenham options, including Hugo Lloris and Federico Fazio?
I'm never really that comfortable with Tottenham defenders.
Is there any Arsenal bias there?
No, there isn't. It's lack of clean sheet bias. I feel like Tottenham are very good at beating teams 3-1. And the one, you know, there are certain leagues that give out points for only allowing one goal. And I almost feel like they should just call that the Tottenham rule. Because they struggle to completely blank teams, and so at least in Premier League play. So I liked Danny Ings this week because he's playing Tottenham. Like, I feel like there's at least one goal in Burnley and he's probably it. And so if there's one goal in Burnley, that means Tottenham doesn't get the clean sheet. So I would prefer to stick with the offensive options like Harry Kane, Christian Eriksen.
Let me throw a hypothetical at you here. It's a little bit of an either or situation here. What about Danny Ings or Charlie Austin, who's at home against West Brom?
I like Austin a little more. I feel like his totals are a little better than Ings, meaning he's been able to do it over a longer period. So both of them are going to be very attractive to a number of teams in the summer. I don't think they're going to move in January, but I kind of like Austin still at this point.
Ings or Danny Welbeck?
I'll take Welbeck only because I think, you know, he'll get more exposure to opportunities. Not in terms of getting more playing time than Ings, but I think there are just more, you know, there's more offense in Arsenal. So just if you take a slice out of that and give it to Welbeck, I think that slice is going to be bigger than what Ings gets by the end of the season.
Danny Ings this weekend or Diafra Sakho?
That's a good one. I'll go with Sakho just because I think West Ham's going to crush.
So you say that you like Danny Ings, but you're taking, you know, guys that aren't going to be too much more than him in terms of price. You know, you're not really slotting Ings in where it's a position of value here. How about, how about Danny Ings or Roberto Soldado?
Oh, yeah, I would take Ings. I mean, I would take Jose Pozo over Roberto Soldado. How about that?
Now that's a bold statement. All right, so let's move on to Hull City against Swansea. Hull at home this week. Hull is a mess right now. Do you play every Swansea option, including defenders and keepers? Well, one keeper.
Right, yeah. If I could play both, I would play them. Yeah, I'm all over on Swansea here. You know, we have a long audio trail of pumping Hull City this season, and I constantly tried to say, you know, we don't think that they're going to win the Premier League. We just think that they're going to be very good fantasy options, and that hasn't even been true either. They are really struggling to score, and they are really struggling to stop other people from scoring. I love Wilfried Bony lately, and I think, you know, he could be a clear I have him ranked number one in terms of forwards this week. Just he's playing really, really well. Hull City's not stopping anyone. What's a little weird about Swansea is that everybody should be comfortable playing Boney. Gylfi Sigurdsson is a solid option. And after that, you're kind of playing a lot of question marks. Not necessarily, you know, we know that like Wayne Routledge is going to play, but, you know, he's not quite as consistent as some of the other guys that you'd put in the price that he's in a lot of leagues. So, you know, Swansea has the ability to score, but we pretty much only trust two options in terms of the attack, which is a little weird when you have, you know, a few other teams like, you know, Man United and Man City that have a plethora of guys that you'd be willing to go after, whereas Swansea's pretty much just two, one forward and one mid.
Yeah, Probably, yeah, that's solid logic there. How about I'm trying to think here. Really nothing I can do to combat that. I was going to try to think of something because I still like Hull City's options. They're just playing a really ridiculous system right now where they refuse to score goals.
Yeah, and they're not, you know, when you do that, you have to be good on the counter, and they're not that good at that either. So you're right, they're just not playing in a possibility to put themselves in a position to score. So when that happens, you're kind of hoping that you can just get 1 point every weekend on a scoreless draw, and their defense is just not nearly as good enough to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll move on here to Aston Villa at home against Manchester United. And can John Mata be effective if Angel Di Maria returns, or Juan Mata, if you want to be all correct about it?
I was going to say, if you're going to say John, you should say Angel.
Yeah, Angel of Marie.
Right.
Or Mary.
Mary, I believe. Yeah. I'm the reason why I think Mata's value drops so much is because he takes the free kicks when Di Maria is out, and he's been very effective taking those free kicks lately, both in terms of scoring goals and grabbing assists. And the problem with Mata is that free kicks within, you know, 30 to 35 yards that go to goal are usually his only shots of the day. Like, he doesn't take a high number of shots, and so if you're taking those free kicks away, you're losing a lot of his offensive possibilities. So I think he still starts, though. I think he's just playing way too well of late in Di Maria's spot to take him out completely. But if he's not getting those opportunities, then I'm not sure how he contributes in terms of offensively. Not that he ever contributes defensively, but
Yeah, what's especially weird about it is, well, not weird, but just coincidental, but they're both left-footed, so it's not like you can have, you know, one beneficial for righties, one beneficial for lefties, and they'll just split them that way.
right, you're
They
absolutely
both
right.
have the same predominant foot, so that definitely puts a dent in it for sure.
Yep.
All right, but I mean, Juan Mata may play centrally though.
He could. I mean, yeah, I mean, they're a,
Like take out James Wilson, for example.
I think they like him too much. I think
And
Van
they.
Gaal has made it clear he likes James Wilson over Falcao, who is recently being linked to Juventus. Falcao may be the best player available for that's not cup tied in terms of the Champions League teams. You know, I don't think Wilfried Bony is going to go to Juventus. So if you look at a big name like that, that's a pretty good draw.
Louis Van Gaal doesn't like Johns. All right, so Christian Benteke, is he worth a start for you?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about how if there's a goal that's going to come out of Aston Villa, it's going to come out of Benteke, and I'm not.
Because he dropped in our rankings. He's 11th in the composites this week.
Yeah, I think he's just got to start getting some matches under his belt. You know, he came back from a rather serious Achilles injury, and then he got that 3-match suspension for slapping Ryan Mason. And he just needs to get a few, you know, get his feet going here. And, you know, he scored, was it last weekend or the weekend before? You know, he's clearly starting to get better. They're playing at home this weekend, which is, you know, certainly a plus against Man United. United has been excellent defensively recently, or at least David De Gea has made them excellent. So there's, you know, you obviously have to put Benteke's possibilities with a grain of salt only because of how well De Gea is playing, but
Yeah. This just seems like a game where there's going to be like a sneaky goal scored by Aston Villa, like an Andy Vyman goal. It's just one of those like just crazy games where it might be a 4-5-1 Manchester United, or it could be 1-0 Aston Villa. I really have no idea.
yeah, I actually sort of picture a 1-0 early lead from Villa and then
Oh,
just getting slaughtered after that.
scoring too early.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll move on to QPR versus West Brom. I can't believe I'm saying this. Is this an absolute landslide for QPR?
Who knew? Who knew? Yeah, the Charlie Austin's back from his 1-match suspension. Leroy Fair's been
Never
playing really
trust a
well.
guy whose Twitter handle starts with @Chaz. Anyway, keep going.
Those are pretty much the only options that you'd play though, because they're, you know, the defense at QPR leaves a little to be desired, and so I'm still not comfortable playing guys like, well, frankly, I wouldn't go with Robert Green, who's probably the cheapest goalkeeper you're going to find. not because I necessarily think West Brom is, you know, capable of, you know, blowing them out. But they're
capable of getting one. Now, is it a Sato Berahino return?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
He even play?
I was going to say, I'm staying away from Berahino until he figures this out. I feel like, and I think I've said this on a previous podcast, but Premier League teams realize that if they shut down Berahino, they've effectively figured out how to shut down West Brom. And they haven't really done anything since then to say, yeah, we can beat you this way. And there is no other way. It's either Berahino or not, and he's just not playing well enough right now for me to jump all over him. But QPR has shown an ability to score goals and an equal ability to give them up. So you figure West Brom's got to score somehow. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure we're going to be able to pinpoint who that player is going to be, which obviously leaves you with a bit of a dart in fantasy if you go with West Brom options.
All right, we've talked way too much about West Brom. We'll move on to Southampton at home against Everton here. Southampton is definitely in trouble. The other shoe has dropped. That was the large thud sound that you heard last week after their 1-0 defeat at Burnley at Turf Moor. James Ward-Prowse returns, and what happened to Jay Rodriguez?
He's still not back, which means that he's in that weird position that other clubs are looking at him to take him because, I mean, he had something like 15, I think it was 15 goals last season for Southampton. It was obviously a very different team then, but we had kind of talked about West Ham versus Southampton, and obviously West Ham looks much better than Southampton recently, but we were wondering if Southampton, you know, if they stayed close enough, if they would go to buy anybody in January. And with James Ward-Prowse back now, and Rodriguez is theoretically supposed to come back next month, he hasn't returned to training, and you figure it's going to take him a while to get match fit. So I'm not depending on him coming back soon, but this match is going to be in trouble. They're going to be in trouble. You know, the benefit of losing a podcast that we tape on Wednesday and then doing it again Thursday is that we learned that Dusan Tadic has been ruled out for this game. Graziano Pelle is considered highly doubtful, just based off of the condensed schedule is the reason that they're giving. So Morgan Schneiderlin is iffy.
So who's left besides for James Ward-Prowse?
There's Sadio Mane.
Ah, an old favorite of mine.
Yep. And then, you know, guys like Victor Wanyama or, you know, not guys that you're willing to go to battle with. So
not fantasy relevant players, but on the Everton side, how many options are you willing to start? Are you willing to start the defensive options given Southampton's offensive woes recently?
Yeah, if the price is right, the difficulty with that is that these guys are, you know, at least with...
Well, what about like Sylvain Distan?
I was going to say, Distan...
If John Stones makes an appearance.
I was just about to say, John Stones is almost back, so although I believe...
What about Tony Hibbert?
He's not back enough. What I would like to see, which they played, I believe it was against Man City, is when they moved Coleman up to midfield and then they essentially played four other defenders. I like the idea of getting Coleman a little more involved offensively, but
he's the Fabian Johnson of Everton.
Wow, that's quite a compliment for Johnson. But
is it
well, I mean,
I
maybe not
me,
this
tell
season
me what
yes
Coleman has done this season. Yeah, that's exactly.
fair enough.
He's been overhyped grossly this season as someone who's picked him for daily multiple times and gotten nothing from him.
Yeah, the difficulty that we have with specifically defenders like Coleman that were always known more for goals than assists, like Leighton Baines takes free kicks and has always, you know, you can get assists out of defenders. And the reason why Coleman was so highly ranked and rated and produced so much is because he scored a good number of goals for a defender last season, and Everton were very good defensively. So you got those clean sheet points, and then you sporadically got those goals. But I think he finished with 5 or 6 last year, if I remember correctly.
It was somewhere around there.
You're right, which is an excellent total for a defender. The problem is that leaves you 32 games without a goal. And so you're playing...
And that's assuming he didn't score multiples in a game.
Yeah, exactly. So
at least 32 games.
Right. So now that they're not playing as tightly defensively, you lose the clean sheet plus the goal. You know, you lose essentially the bonus points. So now you're looking at just waiting for him to score a goal, which when you're talking about a defender doesn't really work out that well. So yeah, Coleman's is pretty much just the defensive option at this point. Like, I find him as valuable as Jags and Distin if they play, and he's probably so heavily priced that, yeah, you might as well take Distin, or I think they need to get Stones back in there as soon as possible. But
would you take Distin or Font?
I would take Distin, yeah.
Would you take Leighton Baines or Nathaniel Klein?
I'm not taking any Southampton defenders in this game.
Wow. Nathaniel Klein, it depends on your scoring system, but Nathaniel Klein does lead almost all of Europe, I believe, in tackles.
In tackles, yeah. Yep. He's been very good. So, and yes, but for your peripheral stats, I believe that's, you know, when you need seven tackles in order to equal a clean sheet, and if Distin can get me the clean sheet and one tackle, then I'll take that. You know, it's the Southampton attack. You know, theoretically, they could just try to park the bus this weekend. Because they don't have any offensive options to help them score. But
yeah, the highest Leighton Baines ranking for this week out of the three of us was you and me at 8th.
Yeah.
So that's what we think of the Everton defense. So not smooth sailing ahead for Everton, but we'll move on to the Tyneside Derby now. And can you answer this question? What is a magpie?
I can't answer that. I'm sorry.
Okay. So Newcastle or the Magpies or Toon are playing Sunderland, the Black Cats. And is there any play here? Actually, you know what? I'm going to do a little either or here. Iosi Perez or Danny Ings, as we mentioned earlier.
Oh, I like Ings a little more than Perez.
So in our rankings, they're back to back. Perez is 13, Ings is 14.
Yeah. I don't think I ranked Perez, so I'm going to have to stick to my word on Ings.
Yeah, yeah. This is not gotcha journalism here. I would never actually look back and actually pinned you on it. So, you know, that's the kind of reporting we have here on this podcast, at least on this end.
Right.
But no, is there anyone worthy of a play here? And if you say Jozy Altidore, I'm gonna drive over to.
No, we all know. Oh, and that miss that he had last weekend.
Yeah, yeah. I'll reach over the internet and smack you in the face.
Right. No, Josie's not the play here. I don't really love Connor Wickham anymore. It's one of those that, like, he'll play, but Sunderland just haven't been able to do enough, or at least Wickham specifically hasn't been able to do enough. You know, it's one of those that, like, when you lead the one of the worst teams in the Premier League in shots, where does that leave you on the rankings? You know, like,
yeah.
So I like Iosi Perez in this game, which then theoretically takes out all the Sunderland defensive options. Not that we were going to throw out Coastal Pantilimon.
There you go. Excuse me.
Newcastle's on their 17th tiered goalkeeper, Jack Alnwick, who suffered a shoulder injury. They were talking about, this was great, they were talking about getting an emergency loan for a goalkeeper because he was hurt, but they couldn't prove that he was hurt enough. And so he's essentially just barely healthy enough to play.
How European is that? And, yeah. Oh, he's not hurt enough. You can't get another guy.
And even that said, there's not a Sunderland option that I'm comfortable enough with. You know, I feel like we're going to say, oh yeah, go for Connor Wickham, and then it's going to be a random Adam Johnson goal, or maybe it's Stephen Fletcher time. You know, it's they're
Connor Wickham.
Yeah. Well, if you want to go with Wickham, go nuts. But I'm going to hold back.
Yep. Outside of the northeast of England, I'm not sure how much appeal this game has, but
The benefit they have in the States is that it's the only one on at 8:30 in the morning on Sunday.
Yeah, real benefit there. 11 o'clock in the morning is
the
big one of the weekend here on Sunday. It's Liverpool at home against Arsenal. Two teams going in the opposite direction right now. Arsenal seem to be coming on. Even though, you know what, I don't even know what to make of Arsenal this year. As an Arsenal supporter, what do you make of Arsenal?
They are just like every other year. They have shown such promise, and they are battling injuries to pretty much everyone. I guess they've had a little more health in previous years, at least in the last two, really, in defense, which has been just an abomination this year. In terms of injuries, Laurent Koscielny has been out for a long time. He, you know, missed time with an Achilles, and then he came back and he hurt his calf. He's going to miss this one. Callum Chambers has shown to be a little sloppy on the field, if I want to be kind about it. He's already up to 7 or 8 yellow cards, having already served as one match ban.
Close to a 2-game suspension.
Yeah, exactly. Matthew Debuchy missed time with an ankle injury, which allowed Chambers to get all those yellow cards. Kieran Gibbs has been banged up sporadically. Nacho Monreal is out.
Needed a better training staff.
Well, right, and we haven't even gotten into the midfield.
We don't need to run through the laundry list of Arsenal.
No, no. So, but I think that's. I think the injuries in the back is what really has affected them the most. Like, they have enough midfielders to make up for it theoretically. I mean, they're missing some big names, but they can throw guys out there that, you know, like Oxlade-Chamberlain and. Mm-hmm.
So, who would you rather have here? Would you rather have Santi Cazorla or Raheem Sterling?
I think they're pretty even this week, actually. Sterling has been essentially moved up to play as a lone striker. He may be the smallest player in the Premier League to have that role, but you know, he had some success in the Capital One Cup with that, scoring his first goal in about 6 years. And I think he could definitely give Arsenal problems. That being said, I think Cazorla gets involved. You know, he gets significantly more touches, so I think that gets him a little higher opportunity. His is more of an assist opportunity than Sterling's, which is a goal.
For Raheem Sterling, you were the only one to rank him out of the three of us.
Yeah, it's the Arsenal defense is the reason I rank Sterling. It's one of those that, like, I think Liverpool has a goal in them, and I think he's the highest play option in terms of that goal. Like, Ricky Lambert's probably not going to play. Lallana, who knows? Gerrard is a question mark every so often. So I just take, you know, you got to take the most consistent option there, and that's Sterling.
Yep. So Monday night, 3 o'clock. Since I'm eliminated from fantasy American football, I'll be watching at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Stoke City at home against Chelsea. Ho hum. Start all your Chelsea options. Just remember, it might be Peter Cech instead of Thibaut Courtois. Mm-hmm. Any other noteworthy news from this game?
None. Literally none.
That's what I thought. So let's get to our daily dose here. We'll go to our Mondo Gold teams for the week. We strayed away from Mondo Gold for the past couple of weeks, but we're back. And I'll start with my back four of goalie and back three, because why would you play anything else? I am going to go with Hugo Lloris and Federico Fazio from Tottenham. And then I'll have an Arsenal defender in Callum Chambers, who, you know, maybe if yellow cards were worth bonus points, he'd be really good. But we'll see what happens there.
And then, but it's actually just the opposite.
It's just the opposite. Branislav Ivanovic also to round out my back four, not spending more than 7.9 on anybody.
Yeah, I had Ivanovic also. We touched earlier this year when we thought he was very underpriced, and he continues to be underpriced.
But you know what?
It's going up, but he's still underpriced, but here's the thing.
He's underpriced from, you know, but they aren't getting a ton of clean sheets, Chelsea. So is he underpriced?
I believe they've been getting them recently.
That's why his price has gone up.
Right, well, the reason why I consider him underpriced is that he's the fifth highest priced defender on Chelsea. Yeah. So that, you know, if you're looking at the Chelsea options in terms of clean sheets, that's where you go.
Yeah, I mean, my frustration with Ivanovic in general is that he's not the best right back on the team. Like, it's not even close. You know, I would rather have Azpilicueta play at his natural right back position. Or I'd even rather have Ramirez play in his unnatural right back position. He's clearly a better right back than Ivanovic.
Yeah.
Have you seen Ivanovic try to cross a ball? You have no idea where it's going.
Yeah.
It could be great. It could be, you know, like hitting like the wrong cardinal direction on the D-pad for FIFA 15. You know, it could just go back towards Thibaut Courtois from the other end line. You have no idea where it's going.
That's fair.
And he's definitely a guy you want, you know, on set pieces to be in the mix. And as a right back, he's not up there as much. Only on corners, basically, because he has to stay back.
Yep, that's fair. Then why doesn't Azpilicueta get involved in the attack more than he does? Because he's just not comfortable on that side?
My guess is because he's playing behind Hazard.
Yeah.
Who does not like to run back.
No.
And Willian does. Like, he can and he does. That would be that's my guess for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not anything that's not an incredibly intelligent guess.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it seems to have some value in it.
It's rooted in some truth, but, you know, it's never stated publicly.
Yeah.
But let's go to our
midfield. Okay. So I haven't even finished mine yet. I also had Fazio, as much as I can't stand Tottenham defenders, 6.9 million. with the, you know, home against Burnley is enough.
Yes. Under 7% of their budget, you're playing against Burnley. That's pretty good value.
Yeah. And then I tag teamed Ashley Williams at 6.9 with Lucas Fabianski at 7 million. So I have a little more, I have even smaller faith in the Hull City attack that I'm willing to take Swansea on the road.
So disappointing.
Yeah, I know. I know.
But it must have hurt you on the inside. So let's go to our midfield four here.
I actually had to change mine a little bit from yesterday due to the Dusan Tadic news, but I had Tadic, who I replaced out with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, who I think...
is he going to play?
He is going to play. Well, let me rephrase. He is expected to play, and with the other injuries they have, they don't really have an option not to play him. The other option is Lukas Podolski, who we all know won't get the start. So I'm going to try to go with Oxlade-Chamberlain and...
God, I hope Podolski starts now.
If he doesn't, I would happily just throw... Although Podolski's probably a forward in Mondo Kolba. But I'm going... Right now, Chamberlain, Oxlade-Chamberlain is my option. I believe Tadic was at 8.2, which isn't really a great price in terms of finding a number of options in that area. Oxlade-Chamberlain came in at 7.8. My other options were two more in that range, which is why I couldn't get them, were Leroy Fair at 8.7 and Ross Barkley at 8.1. With Kevin Morales probably sitting this weekend, I think Barkley takes on even a bigger offensive role than he does. And at 8.1, that's a pretty good price for a guy who's probably going to lead them in shots or at least be up there with Lukaku.
And then they start Eto as well. There's always the chance they start Eto and put him in the midfield. And he's actually classified as a midfielder on Mondo goal as a sidebar.
Yeah, which strangely is the right call. That's where he's been playing mostly this season. But and then I spent 13.5 on Fabregas, who I think is probably worth every penny, though I understand the argument of going with a cheaper Oscar.
Yep, which is what I did. That transitions perfectly for me.
Yep.
So I took Oscar at 10.8, and I'm taking my preseason pick of James Ward-Prowse at 6.9 million as a budget guy in the midfield. Ross Barkley at 8.1, and a little bit of an unconventional step here. I'm taking Raheem Sterling, who counteracts Callum Chambers, as my defender. But
why did you do that?
It's an opportunity thing. You know, do I really believe that Raheem Sterling is going to go crazy offensively? No. But at the price, it's worth the risk because he's going to be playing as the forward. And you never know. And the points gained by a goal is better than the points lost by a clean sheet.
I'm going to tell you how you got cursed this one. Sterling is going to be taken down in the box by Callum Chambers. Possibly.
A red card.
I was just about to say for a red card. And then Gerard
Sterling and takes Sterling out of the game, and then Gerard scores the penalty.
And then Gerard scores the goal. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Okay, so if that happens, I will take my checks in the form of clairvoyance. If you make any bets on that, so fantastic news there. I just require 5% as a finder's fee. All right, so let's move to my forwards here. I have three forwards, just like everyone normally should on Mondo Goal. I have Andy Carroll at 9.1, Diego Costa at a ridiculously cheap 10.2, and Robin Van Persie at an inflated 14.4. And what about your three?
Because I went with Fabregas, I had to go a little cheaper on my third one. I have Costa and Carroll as well. Both of those prices, Carroll's at 9.1, and like you said, Costa at 10.2 is just a little too good to pass up. He's, you know, the 15th or so priced forward, which is a little, you know, if you just looked at nothing more than how many goals has everybody scored this year, theoretically, this guy should be number two. You know, he's second
and actually,
in goals.
No, he should be number one because we know Aguero's not.
And we know, right. Right. So, so I don't know why he's still so cheap, but as long as he is anywhere in under.
They're still listening to my end of the podcast before the season where I say I don't like Diego Costa.
How you wanted Hulk instead.
I would still contend that might have been a better idea at the time. Anyway, go
ahead. My last choice is Wilfried Bony, who I felt was the appropriate replacement for Sergio Aguero.
I agree.
At 13.5 million is, you know, it's not cheap, but it's cheaper than RVP, cheaper than Rooney,
Wilfried
and cheaper
Bony,
than Alexis Wilfried, Sanchez.
Yeah, Wilfried Bony should be ranked one or two this weekend.
Yeah.
The opportunity is there, and he's also been playing ridiculously well.
Yep.
If he was on a team not named Swansea, more people would be talking about him.
Totally. And come January, he might not be.
I'd be, you know, we talked about this on take one of the podcast here, but it's going to be hard for a team to come in January and take him because he is UEFA Cup tied.
Mm-hmm.
So the big teams that might want him, you know, let's say a Dortmund who might lose Marco Reus, a, let's say a Juventus who needs a forward badly to be with Carlos Tevez. They can't use him. In the league that they would like to use him most, because Juventus is likely going to win Serie A.
Mm-hmm. Only 1 point game, 1 point lead though at this point.
Correct, but
Roma's sticking around.
Let's be honest, all right. But I mean, Dortmund could certainly use him to help get them out of the cellar in the Bundesliga. So I mean, if he goes to a bigger club, I would say it would be Dortmund.
Dortmund's got a lot of guys to play up front, though, is the problem.
Well, they may lose their biggest one. Is my point.
Yeah, but they
use the money to finance that move. My point.
They got well. I'm not. And this is another thing.
They're starting to get their midfield back healthy because Mkhitaryan's coming back now from a long term injury, and Gundogan is coming back from an injury
as
well.
Mick, whatever his name is, just got hurt again though. If I remember,
fantastic.
He did 6 weeks. He's out 6 more weeks. But
Gundogan's coming back he's probably one of their best overall players forward box to box.
Yeah, yeah.
Might lose Mats Hummels pretty soon.
Yeah, it's a lot of guys that they could lose. I'm just not sure.
Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, well, I'm not even going to start going down that route. But that's an interesting situation with Boney because. And we've even named a number of Premier League clubs that can use him. I mean, theoretically, Man City would have been all over him, or Liverpool. Yep, and
but Liverpool's now out of the Champions League. Yep. Man City can't use him in Champions League,
right? But I wonder if so. Theoretically, that takes most of these clubs out. Like Swansea making Europa ruined them, likely getting a huge fee for Boney.
In January, right. June, they still could, but I think it would be lower because there's going to be more options out there.
More options for who?
First, the striker market's going to be bigger.
Oh.
So you can't charge as much because the supply is bigger.
Yeah.
Demand goes down.
So theoretically, they don't make Europa next year when he's not cup tied. He can make a fortune a year from now.
Yeah.
Make a fortune for Swansea.
Correct. Theoretically, of course.
Yeah, but
you know, not theoretically, very real is the end of this podcast, which is right now. So take two is now in the books, and this will be up online shortly. It's currently Thursday afternoon; should be there by Thursday evening. So be sure to catch this on your iTunes, on your Stitcher, because we're on Stitcher now, and also go to the website rotowire.com/soccer. Any exciting stuff coming up on the website for you, Andrew?
Everything, Mike. We've got a condensed schedule, so if you like our regular features, you're going to love them because they're going to come out 3 times in the next 10 days.
Including podcasts. So yes. That'll be great news for everyone who loves
Hopefully we can just do the future podcasts once instead of having to do them twice.
Well, you know, Schmaliday Inn is not – it may not be my location of the future. So
poor internet, and yet you're always smarter when you leave.
On that note, that'll be the end of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast, and I'll definitely be smarter next time, that's for sure. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye.
For more great content, go to rotowire.com/soccer. It's all free, and it's all for you.